Presentation's loading. You can just do search and replace. Food, alcohol, tobacco, alcohol. I assume that Nick is going to talk a bunch about this in his presentation. We talk about them all playing from the same playbook. So first, I want to thank you for including me. I'm just, thrilled to be a part of this. I have no financial interest to disclose. I'm not making millions off of what I do. Just a little reminder, alcohol is the fifth leading cause of death and disability for males in the world. Fifth leading cause overall, the third leading cause for males, and the 12th leading cause for women and young people. It's the number one killer of and disabler of young people 15 to 24 in every region of the world except the Eastern Mediterranean, for boys and for the high income and across the region of the Americas for females. And the alcohol industry is our friend. According to them, the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States encourages responsible decision-making regarding drinking and not drinking by adults of legal purchase age and discourages abusive consumption of their products. The brewers strongly oppose abuse or inappropriate consumption of their products. And they've got a problem because so much of the consumption of alcohol is abusive consumption. They will never define abusive consumption. CDC's definition, more than 5 drinks in 2 hours for males, more than 4 drinks in 2 hours for females. This is the standard drink version of binge. That's more than half of adult consumption in the U.S., and it's as much as 90% of youth consumption. Sue Foster and the folks at CASA did this a number of years ago. We're in the process of updating it, new data, et cetera. But, the bottom line is, they would lose somewhere between a third and half of their market and revenues and everything else were they to get rid of abusive drinking. It's just so hard to imagine a CEO running into the boardroom and saying, I have such a great idea, let's get rid of half of our profits. So there's a basic conflict of interest. They would face a market less than half the size of what we have today. They'd lose at least a third of their profits. And no publicly traded company could do that and survive. So they do have a basic conflict of interest with safe and responsible drinking. We've got this wonderful thing in the world since 2010 called the World Health Organization's Global Strategy to Reduce Harmful Use of Alcohol. And it's really comprehensive, mandates activity in 10 areas. I'll talk more about it in a little while. Real landmark for the field. And it's very specific about the role of the industry. Public policies and interventions to produce and reduce alcohol-related harm should be guided and formulated by public health interests and based on clear public health goals and the best available evidence. The appropriate engagement of civil society and economic operators, which is WHO East for the industry, is essential. And the economic operators in alcohol production and trade are important players in their role as developers, producers, distributors, marketers, and sellers of alcoholic beverages. They're especially encouraged to consider effective ways to prevent and reduce harmful use of alcohol within their core roles mentioned above, including self-regulatory actions and initiatives. They could also contribute by making available data on sales and consumption of alcohol beverages. And that last line is one from the WHO wish list. I worked for years with WHO on the per capita consumption estimates around the world, and the industry actually took away permission for us to use their estimates in those calculations a number of years ago after I had used them 4 years. So much for collaboration. Director General of WHO, the strategy and the World Health Assembly resolutions were really clear that WHO collaborates with member states, but they only consult with the economic operators, civil society, and so on. And the WHO Director General, in a letter to the British Medical Journal recently, was very specific. Member states have primary responsibility for formulating, implementing, monitoring, and evaluating public policies to reduce harmful use of alcohol. The development of alcohol policies is the sole prerogative of national authorities. The alcohol industry, in the view of WHO, has no role in the formulation of alcohol policies, which must be protected from distortion by commercial or vested interests. Now, I'd like to introduce you to something called ICAP. It's the International Center for Alcohol Policies. I like to call it the International Center for Some Alcohol Policies. They are based in Washington, but they do nothing in the U.S. They use that Washington base to give them credibility all over the world. They primarily are active in low and, to some extent, middle-income countries where there's an underdeveloped health sector, and they go in and purport to give the public health voice. They are entirely funded by the alcoholic beverage industry. Their interpretation of their role in WHO's global strategy is that the adoption of the strategy has legitimized industry's ongoing efforts and opened the door to inclusion of the producers as equal stakeholders. So, and they've developed this whole thing, and I skipped over this at the beginning, but I hugely want to acknowledge Tom Baber and Kate Rubina and other people who have worked with Tom for their amazing work tracking all this stuff. I feel like I'm channeling Tom in a bunch of these slides. He's sitting here in the front row. I'm sure he'll contribute to the discussion. But anyway, ICAP has something they call Global Actions on Harmful Drinking. This is their contribution to the global strategy. Its focus is on drink driving, non-commercial alcohol, which they love to talk about, all those hundreds of people who die in countries poisoned by, you know, rot gut or bootlegged alcohol, as opposed to the, you know, millions of people who are dying from their alcohol. But we won't talk about that. And self-regulation. So those are their three: drink driving, non-commercial alcohol, and self-regulation. And these help the industry to avoid effective steps. And there's a quote that Tom found in their midterm evaluation: recent calls from some quarters to reduce advertising and increase taxation show the importance of the self-regulation initiative for ICAP members. This is truly an initiative to keep the effective things from happening. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. And PAHO, the Pan American Health Organization, has been just so resistant to working with ICAP and the industry. And so their evaluators recommended that they could circumvent that opposition by deploying their efforts at areas with greater potential for success, such as turning to the different states within Mexico, since the Mexican government was following the PAHO line, places where WHO and PAHO are less active. So this is collaboration with WHO and the global strategy. We've talked about junk science. They do fund junk science. So ICAP did an alcohol policy survey. WHO does an alcohol policy survey. I write the chapter for WHO every time of that survey. Both survey health policy professionals. They use similar methodologies. And it's so amazing. ICAP found completely different results from what WHO finds. They claimed that public education on alcohol was favored by 70% of respondents in emerging market countries. Reanalysis by Tom and his colleague Zeming Xuan showed that only 38% in their own data favored this. The distortion of their own data, FLOXO is the Latin American Social Sciences Institute, which sounds wonderfully credible, et cetera. It's in a number of Latin American countries. They do social science research. They partnered with the industry to survey 1,800 people in 9 countries. They used WHO protocols and cited WHO and PAHO liberally in their report, and it was funded by Latin American brewers. It was apparently a market research study. Those are the methods they used. There was no evidence that they went through any kind of human subjects review. They misused the WHO concepts that they were citing, and they made misleading comparisons across country with no statistical checks, no confidence intervals. But, you know, they reached really industry-friendly conclusions. There's no direct relation between the prevalence of annual alcohol consumption and rates of harmful consumption, especially binge drinking. The data also indicate that countries where alcohol consumption is less prevalent may have higher rates of the population prone to long-term and occasional risk. So, again, thank you, Tom. Tom and his crew actually reanalyzed their own data, the correlations, and you reanalyze the data, and they were lying. They got it completely backwards. Correlations between per capita consumption and percent of binge drinkers were all positive and statistically significant for total male and female populations across the 9 countries. But the conclusions support the industry-favored approach in this field, which is let's target the high-risk drinkers. Let's identify that small group of the population that abuse the product and put all of our energy there. Let's not do any population-level steps. And they presented these findings at side meetings at the World Health Assembly and to Latin American health ministries. The Global Alcohol Producers Group, GAPG, they have 5 commitments as part of this, going along with the global strategy because they are part of the solution. The first is reducing underage drinking through enforcing current laws and encouraging governments to introduce and enforce minimum purchase ages. This was to be achieved through increased enforcement and action by the industry to develop, promote, and disseminate educational materials and programs designed to prevent and reduce underage purchase and consumption. That would be great if there were any evidence that you could actually reduce underage consumption through educational approaches. The evidence base is really clear. These generally, when used in isolation, don't work. And what they're doing, they're developing programs that's in direct violation of their role as laid out in the global strategy. They're also going to continue to strengthen and expand their marketing codes of practice, rooted in their resolve not to engage in marketing that could encourage excessive and irresponsible consumption, with a particular focus on digital marketing. And I have a whole 120-slide presentation about what they're doing in digital marketing that will curl your hair. But there is abundant evidence, not just anecdotal, but systematic studies found industry self-regulatory codes are ineffective, both in protecting against offensive content and shielding young people from alcohol advertising. They're going to make responsible product innovations and develop easily understood symbols or equivalent words to discourage drinking and driving and consumption by pregnant women and underage youth. So here are some responsible product innovations. That first one is vodka packaged as a water bottle. The second one is Four Loko. I assume you're familiar with this. 23.5 ounces of 12% alcohol sold as a single serving. That is a binge in a can for that young woman. The third is little plastic sachets that you find throughout Africa. The fourth is the products the world definitely need, kissed caramel and iced cake vodka. But we commit not to produce any beverage alcohol products that contain excessive amounts of added stimulants, but they forget to define excessive. By the way, there's no evidence that warnings, either in symbols or words, will reduce harmful use of alcohol. They're going to reduce drinking driving by collaborating with governments and NGOs to educate and enforce existing laws that they have systematically opposed. Much of it with the American Beverage Institute, which we should talk about because, of course, they're opposing all of our efforts. And they're going to enlist support of retailers to reduce harmful drinking and create guiding principles of responsible beverage alcohol retailing. And again, just not a heck of a lot of evidence that that'll work either. This is opposed to what WHO defines as the best buys for reducing alcohol problems throughout the world: regulate commercial and public availability of alcohol, use pricing policies such as excise tax increases on alcoholic beverages, and restrict or ban alcohol advertising and promotions. And they have actively opposed all of these throughout the world. In Brazil, lobbied successfully to repeal the ban on alcohol sales in sports stadia in the run-up to the World Cup. In Scotland, lobbying really, really hard and taking to court Scotland's efforts to do minimum pricing. And in South Africa and Lithuania, working against proposed bans on alcohol advertising. They're big. They're $1 trillion a year globally. They're about $4 billion a year in marketing alone. This is primarily a small number of large global companies. They've got a very good teacher-to-student ratio in the Congress as health educators, and they spend a lot of money. In response, what Tom and others of us have done, but led by Tom, drafted a global statement of concern. It very quickly got endorsements from more than 500 academics, health professionals, and NGOs from over 60 countries, presented to Margaret Chan. And it recommends that the industry refrain from all marketing, including sponsorship and product design, in order to protect young children, young persons, high-risk alcohol users, and females in their childbearing years, refrain from further lobbying against effective public health measures, refrain from further engagement in health-related prevention, treatment, and traffic safety activities, as the global strategy suggests that they should refrain, as these tend to be ineffective, self-serving, and competitive with the activities of public health. Refrain from directly funding alcohol research, cease their political activities designed to reduce or eliminate evidence-based alcohol control policies, respect the rules of science, etc., and review and otherwise meet the standards of academic publishers. And then secure their own supply chains. Cooperate with the law when it comes to preventing the diversion of commercial produced alcohols to the informal market. And then in that statement of concern, there are further recommendations for WHO, member states, and public health. And the full statement of concern is available on the website of Global GAPA. That's the Global Alcohol Policy Alliance, which is the alliance of NGOs trying to work at the global level to counter some of what the industry is doing. Thanks very much.